Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 15 to 20. As I read these ancient words, listen for something new that's being spoken into your life and into your heart at this point on your faith journey. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Friends, this is a word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Welcome back to church, everyone.
What?
What are you talking about, Jay? Friends, this is the first Sunday of September. And you know what that means, right? The summer's over. The summer's over. I know it was a strange summer, but it's over nevertheless. And we all know what that means, right? It's back to church time. It's back to church time. Now, remember, traditionally, the new church year begins at Labor Day, coinciding with the beginning of the traditional school year. And friends, tomorrow, best I can figure, just happens to be Labor Day. So welcome back. Welcome back. But these are strange times, aren't they? Sure. Yes, school is back in session, but things are a bit different this fall. You know, it's back to school, but most kids are back to virtual school. And it's back to church, but for the most part, it's back to virtual church. Don't forget to sign up and join us for tailgate worship. It's next Sunday. That's the 13th of August, 6:30 p.m. We're going to meet in the back parking lot back here behind the Maddie Bell building. Now, if the idea, though, let me just say, if the idea makes you uneasy in the least, don't do it, because there'll be other chances coming up to get together. We're just kind of putting our toe in the water at this point. But anyway, hope you'll sign up if you feel comfortable doing so. Anyway, here we stand at the beginning of a new year at Pleasant Grove. And just like the beginning of a new school year, the first thing we need to do as we get back to church is review. You know, summer's a long time, and we forget things. We forget basic multiplication facts. We forget order of operations and such things. So we need to spend some time reviewing. All right. As you know, we left very suddenly last March. Boom! We didn't even get to say goodbye to each other, you know. And at the end of the school year, traditionally, there's always the have a great summer, let's get together sometime, you know, see you in the fall, you know, that sort of thing. But no, we didn't get even that. It was just see you next week. And we left thinking we would be back in this place in 7 days. And here we are, 6 months later. Friends, I haven't had this many Sundays off since I was in high school. Okay, the bottom line is this. Labor Day is the perfect time for us to review. Review who we are, what we do, and why we exist. Do you remember who we are? What we do? Do you remember why we exist? We call it our mission statement. Over the last 6 months, I have gotten so out of sorts. Time has taken on a new quality. You know, it's not differentiated by traditional metrics. You know, using the color wheel as an illustration, everything's a nice shade of dull gray right now. Every day just seems to be the same to me. You get up, you do work or you do school, you go to bed, you get up the next day, and you do it all over again. You know, this sameness leads to a type of disorientation, amnesia even. Friends, I need to review things. I need to remember things. And that's not easy. It's not easy without you here to help me. You know, I miss the laughs. I miss the singing. I miss the bad coffee. I miss the children coming up here. I even miss the snoring. Come on, I miss you. In essence, I miss the relationships that order my life. And it's those relationships taken in their totality that define me as a follower of Jesus and define us as a community of faith. Do you remember our mission statement? Of course you do. We just need to say it out loud every once in a while. Shake off the cobwebs that are clinging to our soul. We exist to be the body of Christ in the world. We exist to be the body of Christ in the world. We, you and I, are the body of Christ in the world. And you know what that means, right? It means our calling, our mandate, our passion is to continue Christ's ministry in this place at this point in time. In other words, we pick up where Jesus left off. We are literally His hands as we extend our hands to heal, to welcome, to nurture, to comfort, to bind up, and to embrace. Welcome back. How was your summer? How was your summer? You know, that's what we're always asked when we get back to school on that first day of this fall semester. How was your summer? And maybe we would throw in a, what did you do? What did you do? For good measure. Friends, how was your summer? What did you do? What did you do this summer? You know, things get out of sorts during the summer when you're out of school. After the break, you have to get back on a school schedule. You know, bedtime moves up. Weekends are special again. And you set an alarm for the morning. You know, we've been out of church for 6 months. How have you been? You know, what have you been doing? You know, when we were able to get together each week, we were able to go to Sunday school. We would sing. We would pray. We would read scripture. We'd listen to riveting sermons. I saw that. We would drink coffee. We would catch up with each other. We would ask the maintenance questions. How are you? How are the kids? What's going on with your aging parents? Is work going okay? And while we did all these things, we were in essence reviewing the story. 6 months. It's been 6 months. We've got to do some serious review work here. Now, remember the story. The story, all caps, our story, really has two main parts to it. The part about our relationship with God and the part about our relationship with others. And of course, the two parts are always held in tension with one another, right? You know, the story is not complete without both. In essence, we can't talk about God in the abstract. No. Because our relationship with God is lived out in our relationship with others, and vice versa. Now, if that sounds a bit strange to you, you know, maybe a bit novel to you, then maybe a good place to begin the review process would be a marvelous passage found in Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke 10, to be specific. Now, the question there is how does one find abundant and everlasting life? And that's the question of all questions, right? Well, the answer offered there by Jesus is pretty straightforward. Love God and love one another. Love your neighbor. Love others. And of course, the first part of that, we don't seem to have much trouble with, you know. It doesn't give us a hard time. The second part, however, the second part of that imperative has always been a challenge for us, to love the neighbor, to love others. And it's this perennial struggle that is voiced most directly by the young man in that story in Luke 10. And who is my neighbor? Welcome back. How was your summer? How was it? Do you remember that question? The young man's question, and who is my neighbor? Of course you do. It, you know, it makes me squirm just wrestling with it, just referencing it. It makes me uncomfortable. It makes me feel a bit ashamed, actually, of how I've gone about my life. You know, Jesus didn't answer the question directly. He never does. You know, he does not answer it directly, I'm convinced, because that would just encourage debate, you know, and weaseling and carefully orchestrated casuistic gymnastics. He just tells a very simple story. And we call that story the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, the church has been wrestling with the implications of this story and its message ever since. What does this mean for me? What does it mean for us? That's one of the most important things that we do here week after week after week, year after year. Remember that? You know, we wrestle with that here. Here, each week, we read and we remember and we contemplate and we discuss and we take seriously our defining text. You remember Sermon on the Mount? Sure you do. It's a bit earlier in Matthew's gospel than what we read a little while ago. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. In other words, we are essential components of creation. And the well-being of this world depends on our faithfulness. If salt has lost its flavor, what's the point? If a light source is concealed, what's the point? And then you remember the words of Paul that we read last week. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saint. Extend hospitality to strangers. Wow. Friends, we gather as a community to say, that's how we roll. Welcome back. How was your summer? Of course, today's text is a great reminder of the humanity of this community. You know, the challenges of living life together. You know, despite our lofty language and commendable aspirations, in the end, we're still a community comprised of the lost and the broken and the wounded. We don't always agree. We don't always get along. We don't always see things the same way. But the beauty of our story is that despite this tendency toward dissolution, our goal is unity and restoration through intentional and thoughtful living. If another member of the church sins against you, go point out the fault when the two of you are alone. And if the members listen to you, you've regained that one. You know, intentionality. Friends, we are the body of Christ. 6 months ago, a pandemic forced us to change the way we do church and the way we do community. You know, I tell you, it's been tough. It's been tough. It's been a steep learning curve for me. We have been separated one from the other, and many of us have had to kind of hunker down in our homes. You know, we've been isolated. We're scared. How can we be the body when we're not together? That's been the question. Well, there's a passage in Paul's letter to the church in Rome that seems to have been written for just such a time as this. Paul writes, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" In other words, what is it that can undermine my life? What will utterly jeopardize my well-being? What will keep me away from the divine presence? Well, Paul cuts right to the chase, which is not easy for Paul to do. And he offers a very simple response to his own question. "I am convinced that nothing in all creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, it can be extremely difficult to process words like "nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God" when we're scared, when the news is disconcerting, when the NCAA men's basketball and women's basketball tournament is canceled, the baseball season is abbreviated, and the football season is in jeopardy, when hand sanitizer and disinfecting wipes are in short supply, when church goes virtual. Those are the sorts of things that just may be able to separate us from such abundant life. And that's what can make these ancient words ring a bit hollow. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning, as I did 6 months ago when we began this journey, that these words from the Apostle Paul have never found their meaning and power apart from the context of their utterance. They only find their meaning and their power within the narrative of our life together, the community of faith. What will separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Why? Why? Because life is relational and we are one body. What will separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Because we are the hands, the feet, the arms, the embrace of God in one another's life. That's what we do. That is a living expression of our faith. Welcome back. How was your summer? How was your summer? Friends, it is time to get busy again. It's time to step it up as a church. You remember Father Richard Rohr's classic line, "The spiritual world is hidden and perfectly revealed in the physical world." The spiritual world is hidden and perfectly revealed in the physical world. That's why Jesus is so important. He makes visible the hiding place of God. The church, the body of Jesus, the body of Christ, we are called to make Jesus' presence tangible in this world. We, you and I, make visible the hiding place of God. Allow me to put it this way. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Two or three. Two. This reminds me so much of the parable of the mustard seed. In other words, it doesn't take much to achieve great things, because we live and we move and we have our being in the risen Christ. Friends, these are uncertain times. Indeed. And they are going to continue to be uncertain times for the foreseeable future. We're at the dawn of a new church season and the dawn of a new normal. Next Sunday, we're going to hold tailgate worship. Who would have thunk it? We started the year, seems like forever ago, with the theme 2020 Vision. How appropriate is that now? Because we need a clearer vision of what could be given what is. And as I see it, the bottom line is this. We need you. Your church needs you. We need everyone who calls this community home to help us move further into this new and uncertain future. You know, we've kind of just been going through the motions. We're kind of getting through week to week. But now, we can't do that. We got to move forward. We got to press the kingdom. You know, We don't need just casual nods of assent. No, we need everyone who claims this particular faith community as their own to step up and to act. So it is my charge to you today as we begin a new season to find a way, your way, to apply your specific gifts, your specific graces, and we all have many, too many, to the needs at hand, so we can continue to pursue our mission to be the body of Christ in this world. First, we need you to support your church financially. We need you to pledge your resources. I mentioned it during the announcements. Go to the website after this service and make a commitment, financial commitment, to the body of Christ in this place. And then, in addition to that, we need you to spend some time thinking through your faith commitments. You know, this will require some creativity, but you can do it. Push the boundaries of your comfort, you know. Use technology. Yeah, use technology. And if you need help with this, ask us. Ask us. Learn how to use Zoom. Now, if you don't know what that is, call me. Call us. We'll find somebody to help you. Be creative. Come to tailgate worship if you're comfortable. Come to virtual Bible study. We have it every week. You know, start a virtual book club. You can do that. Launch a mass discussion group that walks as it talks. Maybe around the lake. Organize an outreach ministry. You know, call folks, text folks, you know, email for whatever. And if you ever start to have self-doubts, remember this. You are a vital part of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and that is something. Friends, welcome back. Welcome back. How was your summer? Thanks be to God. Amen.